I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This is drive time, isn't it, back in Houston?
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
Who is someone, though, that we are really not talking about that makes your life you-know-what on the other side of the ball?
Yeah, I would definitely say Kamari. I feel like everybody, you know, with Sting being who he is, you forget about the other corner on the other side who can do basically the same thing that Sting does. So I feel like, you know, Kamari definitely needs his flowers. He shows up every day. I mean, he's a dog as well. I don't know if y'all see him, but he be hitting his head with his hands a lot. I don't know if y'all be seeing that, but he's a little psycho. So he's definitely someone who I think should definitely be getting a little bit more praise. But I know, you know, he's going to continue to show it on Sundays.
That was Xavier Hutchinson on my girl Kay Adams' podcast earlier this week. Yes, she's my girl. Sorry, Maria. We've switched sports now, okay? Sean Bajani, B. Scott, Tyler Milner with you.
Oh, but Kay does the interviews with Kevin Durant, too, though. She does those kind of...
Yeah, girl.
Yeah, really cool Kevin Durant interviews. Yeah. They're real, I would say, cozy.
I didn't appreciate how much she was flirting with Kevin Durant last week or 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Oh, God!
Is it flirting, though, or is she just really feminine and really engaged?
I texted her about it and told her it made me uncomfortable and that she needed to calm down a little
Come
bit.
Come on, man. Get securing your manhood, man. I see you over there. You do your push-ups and everything and your manly work.
Well, you see, I am not...
You enough of a man, Sean Bajani?
I am not a future Hall of Famer.
That's true.
I am not 6'11", and... I do not make 45% of my three-point attempts.
It would be so dope if you did, though.
We'd go get
a run-in tonight. Pass the ball to Bajani.
Yeah, man. I told Kay Adams, I was like, I'd be more than willing to take you to any barbecue restaurant you would like to go to next time you come to H-Town. I won't leave you hanging like KD apparently did last season or whenever it was. 713-572-4610. And if you want to be a part of the show, you can text and join the chat, YouTube and Twitch as well. What Xavier Hutchinson said about Kamari Lassiter got me thinking about our discussion earlier about Jaxon Smith and Jigba. Do you anticipate Derek Stingley following him around like exclusively on Monday night, or will Kamari see some action on him? How do you anticipate that kind of going? And what's most necessary to you at this point in time on how to attack that from a defensive standpoint?
Yeah, I'm glad that you asked both questions, because one, I got a better answer for than the other. Like, I think what's most necessary is to have Derek Stingley, especially if Derek Stingley is healthy, right? And if he's not, I get putting him on one side and maybe saying, instead of shutting down this one guy, I'm going to try to shut down this side of the field or this area of the field. I get that. But if Stingley's good to go, I would prefer to see him follow Jaxon Smith and Jigba around. Now, I doubt that that's what's going to happen. If you're asking me what do I think is going to happen, I don't think that they're going to follow Jaxon Smith and Jigba around with Derek Stingley because that's just not necessarily what he does, especially in the slot. Not to say that he can't do it or it's out of the question. I just don't think that that's the route that they're going to go. But this is the challenge that JSN presents, right? That he can line up all over the field and present all different types of matchup nightmares for the opposing defense. So how do they handle it? That's going to be a real interesting part of the chess match to watch, because I don't know exactly what they're going to do. If they'll do the thing that I want them to do, I doubt it. Or if they'll, you know, are they going to play more nickel? Are they going to play more base? I know that today, earlier, when the assembled media was talking to D'Amico Ryans, I think it was DJ Bieniemy of ESPN who tried to ask D'Amico Ryans about exactly that. How do you balance how much of your base defense versus your nickel defense you play against a team that runs a lot of 12 and 21 personnel and presents some of the challenges that Jaxon Smith-Njigba presents? And so I don't know,
yeah,
but I'll be interested to see it. I know that I would put Derek Stingley on their best guy.
I would, and JSN is their best guy.
Yeah.
And the reason why I ask is, you mentioned, you know, Stingley being a little banged up and stuff. So, like, having been at the forefront of my mind was, you know, like a third of the reason why I asked. The other two-thirds, I figured you'd say, hell yeah, he's going to follow him around. JSN's probably got 20 pounds on Kamari Lassiter. And I don't know how much that is necessarily going to factor in, because it does depend on how you choose to attack them defensively. But
and Kamari is a maniac. He is kind of a psycho.
Yeah. No. And
so and what I'm saying there is just that he's up for that matchup, if that be the case.
For sure. But 20 pounds is 20 pounds. Okay. And for what they're going to be doing in the play action game, I would presume what they've done in large part their first six games, it's that second and third move, the ability to create separation. It's going to have to get physical at times. And JSN's a freaking beast, man. I think I'd way rather have the 6'1", you know, 200-pound, 205-pound, whatever Derek Stingley is these days, being able to, you know, kind of go mano-a-mano and body up, if necessary, a Jaxon Smith-Njigba all night long. We've been there, done that before with, you know, D'Amico Ryans not having Derek Stingley follow a bigger, stronger receiver around before. I don't want to go through that Amari Cooper experience again that we did a couple of years ago. This, to me, it's necessary. I don't think I'm putting too much emphasis on just how big this game is, but it's the matchups within this game that are huge for the Texans. They have to be able to put themselves in optimal position to win as many as they can.
It does feel like this is what you give a cornerback $90 million to do, right? Like, as much as as much as I like Kamari Lassiter and what he brings to the table, and he brings a lot, to be sure, as much as I like what guys like Jalen Petrie are doing and what the defense is doing overall and how they're performing, as much as I like all of it, right, I much prefer the all-pro corner that you just paid $90 million to be the guy to go and match up with their best guy, mm-hmm, who just so happens to line up all over the field. And if it requires him to line up all over the field, then that's just what it requires him to do. Derek Stingley is that level of player. You paid him to be that level of player. He's shown you that he's that. And so go out there and do it. I hope that they do it. I'm not optimistic that they will. And so it is one of the things that worries me about the matchup is, okay, who is Jaxon Smith-Njigba going to find, or what matchup are they going to find to exploit? If they go zone, he'll be good at finding the soft spots in the zone.
Yeah.
You know, like, all of those things worry me. And what worries me least is the idea of Derek Stingley being matched up with him. And if he beats Derek Stingley, that's something that I feel like I can live with a little bit better, live with a little bit more so than if Stingley's not on him at all. If he's beating Kamari Lassiter, if he's beating, God forbid, Jalen Petrie, or if you're just giving him, you know, everything underneath and he's, mm-hmm, finding all those soft spots in the zone.
No, no.
If that's the way, whether it's big plays or death by a thousand cuts, if it's not against Derek Stingley, it's going to sting a little bit more if Jaxon Smith-Njigba is beating you.
Yeah. I don't know how much we should be worried about Stingley's injury situation right now, right? Because he hurt that hip What, against Jacksonville?
That was a few weeks ago.
He's played 90%+ of the defensive snaps the last 2 weeks, and he's had the bye week. So
and he's played well. Like he played well with the injury. Like with the injury considered, he looked fine out there.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think this is something the Texans absolutely have to do, and I would fully anticipate them, attacking that Seahawks offense in that way, following JSN around, no matter what it takes. The question that Kay Adams asked, though, about like, hey, you know, what's one defensive player that we're not talking enough about? Kamari Lassiter was Xavier Hutchinson's answer. I started thinking about this, and, you know, shout out to Texan Jacob on Twitter, who had this earlier this morning, on Will Anderson. Will Anderson, through 6 weeks, according to Next Gen Stats, is first with just about 21% of quarterback pressure rate, 15 quick pressures, which is also first. He's third fastest on the get-off. He's got 26 total pressures, which is third in the NFL. And Texans Jacob says Will Anderson should be a top contender for defensive player of the year. Mm. I think that last part is something pretty easy for us to say because of like natural bias, right?
Yeah, being close to the situation.
But
I was thinking more all pro. You know? Like those are all pro numbers. Defensive player of the year is very difficult to win.
Defensive player,
especially at his position.
How many did JJ win? Like,
he won three.
He get three, and he probably could have gotten like five.
Yeah.
Like,
Come on, JJ.
And his brothers won one, and he could have two or three.
100%.
However many miles Garrett has, he could have double that amount.
But you took the words right out of my mouth. I thought all pro, that's what we're talking about. And for that matter, Danielle Hunter as well in that regard. But for Will Anderson to garner that level of, you know, attention, necessary attention, I think the respect is there, okay? But the necessary attention, do you think Danielle Hunter being on this defense, you know, kind of takes a little bit away from Will Anderson and getting that, what it would require for him to win a defensive player of the year?
No, I think it's more so.
Or does it help?
I think Danielle Hunter helps more than he hurts. I think what hurts or has hurt so far would be the offense and the team's overall slow start. Like, so they played on Monday Night Football, right? Mm-hmm. They've already done that against the Tampa Bay Bucks. They lost that game. And they just so happened the defense, I wouldn't say this was Will's fault, but the defense ended up being as good as they've been throughout the season. They ended up being a kind of a story of that game and not being able to come up with some big plays there against Baker Mayfield.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that more than anything, it's the overall team slow start. And like, if they're able to fight enough fire with fire, right? If they were 3-2 instead of 2-3, let's say they win that Jacksonville game, or if they win that Monday night game that I just referenced, they win one of those two games instead of losing them, they're on the other side of the 500 ledger, and in this wide range of mediocre football teams, they're considered to be on the higher end of that. I know you and Clint were making that case yesterday on the show that they're closer, their tape and their quality of football based on the last couple of weeks is closer to the higher end than the lower end.
Yeah, yeah.
But if their record reflected that, I think that Will Anderson Jr. would probably get a lot more recognition in that way.
The sustainability factor is, you know, where I kind of land in that. You know, when Clint was laying that out yesterday, I said, yeah, I totally agree with you in that the Texans are far closer to the team, essentially, to what we saw against the Ravens than what they were, you know, in their path to 0-3. I firmly believe that, and the stats help support that feeling, and the sustainability factor in what we already knew coming into this season, you know, was going to, at the very least, help the Texans sustain, maybe a rockier start for the Texans offense. Well, the defense, it's the number one scoring defense in the league. They're allowing 12.2 points per game, and they've played some pretty damn good teams. Like Houston's earned this ranking after playing the Bucks. They're sixth in points per game. The Rams, about middle of the road, 16th. The Jags, same thing, 17th. But those teams are good. Those teams are 13-5. So the defense has, you know, had these types of performances and is getting after the quarterback, is stuffing the run outside of that Tampa Bay game, right? With some of the very best in the league, they're giving the offense a chance, which seems to maybe be coming around, at least doing what they're supposed to have done against two far lesser depleted opponents in the Titans and the Ravens. But this is the third best in the league in pass rush win rate. And how do you disrupt a quarterback? Man, what did you say to me earlier? Sam Darnold is, he's like the a really good quarterback when everything is like perfect yep. for him. Like yep. the table's set and, you know, he's really good. How do you disrupt that? You get after their ass. You get after their ass. You make it miserable, uncomfortable. And what defense is better equipped to do that, to throw a team off no matter where the hell the game's being played, than the Houston Texans?
Yeah, I agree, man. I agree 100%. Now, as far as that point about Will Anderson Jr. being a defensive player of the year candidate, he's long been, like, this is his third season. From the jump, he's been a, what I would call an analytics darling. Like,
yeah,
pass
yeah.
rush, win rate, and some of the
havoc stat.
And yeah, havoc stat, and you know, things like yeah. that have been kind of created that are useful stats that help illustrate how disruptive of a player he is and can be. But it's that simple number. Football is still, it is still the case in this way where the simple stat is the key one. And it's sacks. And Will Anderson Jr. himself, if you ask him, will tell you this, man. As a defensive end, as a pass rusher, I'm trying to get sacks. That's the name of the game. That's how you get paid. And Will Anderson's not going to have a problem getting paid, of course. But if you're talking about being defensive player of the year and you're talking about playing on what right now is a mediocre at best football team until they show otherwise and they got time to do that, he's got three sacks on the year.
Yeah.
You got guys in the league with 8, 7. You know, Aiden Hutchinson's high on this list with 6. Brian Burns has 7, right? So, and he's got half that amount. So that number is going to have to tick up. You're going to have to see those cool analytic numbers turn into sacks throughout the course of the year to see him have a real legitimate shot at that award.
He had 11 last year.
Yeah, and no, remember, he can have 11 or more this year,
but
certainly.
But do you remember, like, the first few weeks of the season last year? Like, that was all of the questions about Will Anderson. And Matt Burke was fielding those questions. D'Amico Ryans was fielding those questions. Like, hey, man, you know, like, when are the sacks going to start coming? Like, you know, with Will. And they said, dude, just trust the process. Yeah. And, you know, they're laying the whole thing out. They're going to come in bunches with Will Anderson. You know, kind of like they did last year. Like, yeah, he's got 3. Okay, well, another 5 games, if he stays on pace, that'll be 6, okay? And then another 5 games, that'll be 9. That's pretty damn good. Like, to get to double digits, like, I think we could anticipate somewhere between, you know, 10 and 13 sacks for Will Anderson this year, and that's pretty damn good.
Yeah, and I think that as far as on pace, that's the thing that you don't really have to worry about because he is a guy that can go out there and get you 2 to 3 in a game, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he can flip this totally, and some of the numbers that you spelled out earlier here are ones that suggest that
yeah,
look,
yeah.
If you do exactly what the team was saying last year of, like, trust the process or just let it play out, see how it plays out, Will Anderson Jr. can definitely be on the top of that list.
No doubt. That's B. Scott, Sean Bajani, T-Mill with you. It's The Drive, Sports Radio 610, coming up next. First one out, next man up, and who's on the hottest of hot seats now? We'll discuss next.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan, $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer, first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Every idea starts with a problem. Warby Parker's was simple. Glasses are too expensive. So they set out to change that. By designing glasses in-house and selling directly to customers, they're able to offer prescription eyewear that's expertly crafted and unexpectedly affordable. Warby Parker glasses are made from premium materials like impact-resistant polycarbonate and custom acetate. And they start at just $95, including prescription lenses. Get glasses made from the good stuff. Stop by a Warby Parker store near you.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
I'll leave the one thing with regards to our fan base. I understand the frustration. Our record's what it is. But I can promise you, okay, we're going to work our tails off. You know, every day we walk in this facility as coaching staff, as players, to go out there and do whatever we can, okay, to give us our best opportunity to win a football game. That's what it's all about. It's about winning.
Well, that right there was fake Oiler interim head coach Mike McCoy, B. Scott, in his message to fake Oiler fans earlier today.
It's about winning.
Yeah, it's about winning. They ain't been doing too much of that. And I don't think you could forecast of them doing much of that, at least for the...
You play to win the game.
No, sir. Well, you do, but you guys don't seem to be doing that up in Tennessee, where I've really tried to, like, honestly, like, heart-to-heart conversation with T-Mill, who's planning a trip up there.
Yeah, I'm worried about this trip.
I said, dude, if you ever just, like, sacrifice one, like a father-son trip for the city of Houston, like this would have to be it, right?
This is how we break the trend, bro. Yeah.
You don't need to break the trend in the most pivotal season in Texans franchise history, okay?
You going with your pops?
I am.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That's personal.
He says it, okay, but there's a third ticket involved. And I said, well, who's the third ticket for? Like a buddy of his? And he's like, yeah. And I said, okay, let him go with his friend. And then you sacrifice one of your tickets and let that friend bring another friend and let a guy's trip.
It's a tradition, man. Tradition unlike any other. The Milner's on the road for an away game for these Texans every year.
What are you going to be, 0-4 if this goes sour?
If this goes sour, I believe that is correct.
Yeah.
0-4, 0-4. Yeah, 0-4. The stinger, though, the part that really makes it stinks, and you are laying this out right now, but... 0-3 thus far going into Nashville for me for this away game this year. And all three of those losses are very arguably the worst Texans losses of the season. And I wish that was hyperbolic. But last year was the Vikings, and that for sure was the best ass whooping the Texans got all season long.
See, here's what's going to happen. You're setting the table for this. So, like, Mike McCoy, he has not coached as head coach in the NFL since the 2016 season when he was fired from the San Diego Chargers after, I don't know, losing double-digit games, whatever it was, right?
So long ago, I barely even remember that.
But if he beats the Texans, then all of a sudden, AD Adams Strunk is going to think, you know what? Maybe Mac McCoy, he's got something here.
Yeah, I'm onto something here.
We're going to hire this guy.
Oh, and she's clearly clueless.
Yeah.
She clearly has no idea what she's doing.
Yeah, so Tyler Milner.
We cannot lose this game.
Will single-handedly be responsible for, like, I don't know, probably once upon a time ago, getting like two different Titan coaches fired, maybe one getting hired in this case on a full-time basis.
Dude.
Who knows?
Suck it, Nashville.
But you know what? To be fair, to kind of get ahead of this or to preempt this a little bit, to be fair to Tyler, if the Texans go on the road and lose that game to that Tennessee Titans team, we'll have fun with Tyler about it. You know, it'll be good for the show. It'll be good for the station. Kind of playing up the whole curse or whatever. But it'll be hard to have really much excuse for that team. To lose to that team, given what's at stake, given what the Titans are, and given how desperate you are, not even just against the Titans, but even the other teams in the division, like you need to be making sure that you win that next Jacksonville game. You need to be worried about those two games that you got against the Colts. You ain't got time to be going up to Tennessee, whether Tyler's there or not. You ain't got time to go up to Tennessee and lose. That ain't in the cards, man. That's out of the question if we're going to be serious about this season.
I'm with you. But what if the Texans win like four straight games and then lose to the Titans? Like, that would be the only way you could even somewhat call that palatable, is if you're 6-3 going into that game and then Tyler screws it up for everybody.
Man.
And then the Texans are 6-4 after
that.
I'm just saying.
Look, man, that'd be them losing it to the Titans would be like them losing to the Titans last year at home, the Jets in both the previous years. The Panthers 2 years ago.
Yeah, I was there.
It would be a long no. Oh, that's right. Damn it, Tyler.
Seriously? Yeah, dude. Remember that?
That was definitely their worst loss that season, was at the Panthers.
Was that like 16-13 or something?
Something like that.
Or maybe 13-12.
You were there.
It was something real stupid.
Should remember.
I was there. I was cussing quite a bit.
All right, so with Mike McCoy in now as interim fake Oiler head coach, and Callahan out. Oh, by the way, yesterday, did you see Papa Bear went with him? The offensive line coach, Bill Callahan.
Oh, well, I would think so.
Oh, I didn't even piece that together.
Yeah, it was like 2 or 3 hours after the show had ended yesterday, because I had asked you guys the question. I'm like, was Papa going to stick around? Like, what's going on?
Sorry, son. I don't know what to tell you, but these bills ain't going to pay themselves.
Ain't going to pay themselves.
What a daddy's boy.
I wonder if he stepped down and was like, all right, you're going to fire my boy? Like, I'm bouncing too.
Or you going to get rid of my boy?
Or if he got the pink slip in his locker as well when he showed up to work. But who's on the hottest of hot seats now going forward? Because, look, there's one down. He's the first one out of the year. Callahan was for the Titans yesterday. Now, is it going to be the 1-5 Mike McDaniel led Dolphins? Is it going to be the 0-6 Aaron Glenn led Jets? Is it going to be the 1-5, by the way, 2-time coach of the year, Kevin Stefanski in the Cleveland Browns? Brian Daboll's on the list. Jonathan Gannon's on the list. There's one guy, and now granted, the only list I could find was prior to Callahan being fired. Brian Callahan was the favorite, first up to be fired as of 6 days ago. He was -125 odds. A guy that's on this list, his team is now 3-3. Dave Canales, who coaches the Panthers.
I don't think Canales should be on the list.
I don't think so either.
They're actually starting. I know they played against a pitiful Cowboys defense over the weekend, and anybody would look good against them. But they, if you just watch it and don't just do the lazy thing, it's the Cowboys defense thing, which is an easy narrative and true.
Yeah.
And watch them. They've got some young playmakers, man. Bryce Young's figuring it out. Tetero McMillan, or if I'm saying it right, McMillan, the kid out of Arizona.
You can call him Tet.
There you go. Tet McMillan.
Even though he says he didn't like that.
Leggett, despite that boneheaded whatever move he tried to make in that game. I don't understand what he was trying to do. If it was a lateral, what exactly was going on there? But there's something there. I wouldn't quit on Dave Canales the way the Titans have quit on Brian Callahan, understandably.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. But
Mike McDaniel's got to be he's the leader in the clubhouse.
Yeah, it's got to be, to me, Mike McDaniel and Kevin Stefanski at the top. And I think Kevin Stefanski is unfortunate because he has been a coach of the year. He's done a really good job. I actually think he's a really good coach. But at some point, and we can't trust the Browns to actually believe this, but at some point they got to be at their fork in the road. And they got to decide, hey, like, if we maximize whatever this is, are we going to go as far as we are under our current leadership? I feel like Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski's job should be in jeopardy at this point based off of how things have gone in Cleveland. But Mike McDaniel's got to clearly be the leader in the clubhouse. I would say Aaron Glenn as well if he wasn't so damn new.
Only because it's the Jets. Not because, maybe he's lost the locker room or anything like that. I think it's just, the Jets, this guy's leading us to 0-6 mark, you know. And
man, those
questionable coaching decisions in-game, maybe.
Yeah, the game management and the time management issues from over the weekend were, I would say, not ones that he can't come back from, but they're also so discouraging in, like, the guy that you hired. Like, did we hire somebody that just isn't fit for this position? And I hate to say that about Aaron Glenn, because I'm still rooting for him, by the way.
Same.
But based off of that London performance, it's like, ooh.
He had one of my favorite gifts of the NFL season so far.
How sad is that, that might be his most memorable positive moment as a head coach?
Yeah. I mean, look, if Brian Callahan could stick around like 2-3 weeks after, like, most people thought he was going to be fired.
You're damn
like,
right. Give Aaron Glenn at least the year.
Yeah. I mean, you're 0-6. Like, figure it out. Like, give him a chance, okay? We want to fire him, you know, so we can have, like, first pick. You ain't going to hire nobody new now that's going to turn things around.
And then especially if they start trading away their good players, which is on the table, right? That's something that we've talked about already on the show. Breece Hall, the Williams brothers. Like, we got people here who want Garrett Wilson, and we saw him yelling at Aaron Glenn. Like, if they start getting rid of their actual good players, then I definitely think that Aaron Glenn deserves a little bit more leeway.
Yeah, no doubt about that. It'll be fun to watch, though. Next guy getting fired, over under 3 weeks.
Ooh, I'll go under.
I'll go under too, just because Mike McDaniel
is like he is carrying that.
It's like
right
red alert.
He's doing a lot of the work.
It's red alert.
Wrong. It's over.
Oh my gosh. Coming up next, can we put any trade movement by this team to bed at this point? We'll discuss next.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, and spend wisely, and parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
But don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
Live from the Mokarum Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
And for Ron Hughley and Clint Sterner, B. Scott, Sean Bajani, T. Mill still here. It's The Drive, Sports Radio 610. Coming up, top of the hour, we'll have the 5 o'clock fire, day's top stories. Looking forward to that. In the meantime, B. Scott, final preseason game coming up here in a couple of days for the Rockets. One more tonight, though, against the Pelicans. Don't know if Kevin Durant's going to be playing or not. We'll find out. But all but a formality, as we're really looking forward to the regular season beginning 1 week from tonight. And Clint brought this up to me yesterday, and I thought, like, to myself, you know, we discussed it for a couple of minutes. I was like, this just seems like wild and crazy. And look, I tease this segment by, can we just, like, for a second, be realistic here? Can we put any trade movement, at least in the meantime, for the Houston Rockets to bed? You know, it's all surrounding the Fred VanVleet torn ACL, out for the season news, obviously. But it's like there's that, and you almost feel like people have forgotten, dude, you have Kevin Durant, okay? Kevin Durant is a Houston Rocket. It's going to be okay. It's going to be fine. And look, I had to bring myself around to that notion as well. But
not just Kevin Durant. You have Amen Thompson.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're unleashed. Not only do you have Amen Thompson, but you're unleashing Amen Thompson because the other wing or guard that's going to have the ball a lot is Kevin Durant, so you feel good about that. And then outside of that, I mean, his usage rate is going to go up, and I feel like the responsibility that's on Amen Thompson is going to be similar to but not quite to the one that was on Jalen Green. Like, you got Kevin Durant now, right? So
yeah,
that's probably the more apples-to-apples comparison. But if you're just looking at young players, he is now empowered in a way that Jalen Green, and for some people, unjustifiably, like some people didn't love that just because he was the number two overall pick that he was kind of just given the keys to the franchise. And I would argue maybe a little bit against that. Like, when that happened, the franchise was just in a state where they could afford to do that.
Yeah.
Like, early in his career. But now, like, Amen Thompson in year three, much different than Jalen Green in year three, which was the first year of M.A. Udoka, right? Like, he's had 2 years under M.A. Udoka, and he's already an all-defensive guy. He's already somebody that people are talking about as the most athletic guy in the game, the most versatile defender in the game, according to that NBA GM survey that came out last week. So, he is thought of much more highly than anybody that has been at this point in their career as a part of this core, and you're going to treat him that way along with adding Kevin Durant. Those are all the reasons to feel good about it and not be talking about no trades, as you're saying.
Trey Young was brought up, right? And when I heard that initially, I was like, come on, stop it. You know, I don't want to hear about Trey Young. I don't want to hear about Ja Morant. I don't want to hear about, you know, Jaylen Brown, Derek White. I don't want to hear about any of these guys. We all understand and know the state that the Rockets are in, you know, from a financial standpoint. Let's just even look at it from that point of view. Like, you're, you know, under the apron by like maybe $1.5 million, whatever
it
is,
like that.
Depending on what you look at, the numbers change. Okay. Trade deadline is February 5th, 2026. Let's just see what this team is capable of, as it has the opportunity, I'll call it that, it has the opportunity to kind of see what you can do with Amen Thompson, with Reed Sheppard, while having Kevin Durant kind of steady the ship, so to speak, and give you that every night consistent go-to scorer that you did not possess in any of the last two seasons. Let's just call it that. We'll stop it there from, you know, where we thought this team was going to be, you know, could be competitive, could be, could make some noise in the postseason, maybe. They did last year.
I don't want to be dismissive of what Trae Young's ability would bring to the team. Obviously, he's a high volume scorer.
Yeah.
He can shoot the ball better than most guys that they have on their team, even though he's probably overrated as a shooter. He is a very good scorer and a very good point guard, a very good player. So I don't want to discount that. But I also don't want to be so quick to try to disrupt the chemistry that they're developing as a team. And I think that they got a real good thing going. Like, I think the more they put the ball in Amen Thompson and Kevin Durant's hands, mm-hmm. the more they put the ball in Alperen Şengün's hands, the more good things are going to happen for the Rockets. And so I would view, as good of a player as Trae Young is, I would view that as a bit of an unforced error by the Rockets and an unnecessary panic move based off of an injury when they got enough guys to make up for it. Not to, and we haven't even talked about Reed Shepherd and the step that they're expecting him to take.
Yeah.
Now, maybe that's a little bit of hope trafficking. He hasn't really proven much to you yet. But I've said already that I would put him in the starting lineup, and I would wait on that thing to fail. You got enough games. The season is long enough. I would wait on that thing to fail before I punted on it.
Great point. It would be uncharacteristic by the Rockets, operating as they have in just the last 4 years, never mind the last two, in particularly just the last 12 months, B. Scott, where Kevin Durant being a Houston Rocket, that wasn't just something that developed this offseason. I mean, that's kind of been a thing that's been building. There was conversation about him, you know, being dealt ahead of last season's trade deadline. And I think the Rockets have been very calculated and very patient in how they've built this team. And why all of a sudden now, again, as I'd mentioned, and you did too, with the other young guys and Alperen Şengün and Amen Thompson, but Kevin Durant is in the mix, man. Your team's better right now today than it ever has been in any of the last two seasons because of that guy, period. And the development of the other, young players for the Rockets. It would just be uncharacteristic if Rafael Stone and Ime Udoka just were hasty and impatient in this moment. They're like, all right, we got to make a move for this guy or that guy, whoever it is. Reed Shepherd, this is a guy that I've noticed, and I'm sure you have as well. They're not necessarily hoping. They're expecting Reed Shepherd to produce. In fact, like, the word need has been used a lot by Ime Udoka in terms of what they are expecting from Reed Shepherd to accept, you know, a larger, much larger role on this team than he'd had last year.
Yeah, I feel like the hope is from the perspective of the fan or the observer or the media person. The expectation is on the side of the team, like mm-hmm. that, because they're thrusting him into that role and they're going to expect a lot out of him. And I think if you're trying to evaluate it, or just as we had the discussion, and this is something for the Rockets to weigh, I feel like they're going to lean into the Reed Shepherd thing, and I'm in support of this.
Yeah, yeah.
But the question would be, do you feel more comfortable with relying on the development of Reed Shepherd versus bringing in the known commodity of a Trae Young and what that provides to your team? I would say that the things that Trae Young provides are things that I'm already expecting to get out of a different combination of the players I already have. The playmaking that Trae Young, and I'm not saying that Alperen Şengün is the level of playmaker that Trae Young is, but he's a hell of a playmaker, especially at that position, especially given the makeup of this team. I like him as an offensive hub. We saw what that looked like in the one preseason game a few nights ago, mm-hmm. right? I like the idea of obviously just giving the ball to Kevin Durant and letting him be your high volume scorer and high volume shooter when you need it, the way that Trae Young likes to be. And of course, Reed Shepherd can fill some of that role as well. So whether it's playmaking or whether it's shooting, which is the bulk of what Trae Young does, right? He's not a defender. He's not a large guy by any stretch, right? So this is what he does.
Yeah,
I feel like they've addressed those needs between the progression of Alperen Şengün as a playmaker, and he's always been that, but he's just gotten better, and the addition of Kevin Durant and the maturation of one Reed Shepherd.
Sure, never mind what it would take to even acquire a player like Trae Young at this point in time. And
I'm good on Trae Young.
I'm good there. I'm with you in that the integrity of the team that you'd built would be severely compromised to even make a play on a guy like that. Never mind financially what it would cost, but the draft choices and
right.
the current NBA players. It's not to say that the Rockets don't have, you know, a wealth of picks still. They do, but you want to be calculated with that as well, just as they have to this point, to make a big play, an all-in type of a move to get a guy like Kevin Durant. And I say all-in the sense that it's not all in for, you know, this
6-7 month window. This is more of a, to me, a 3-year kind of a window that the Rockets have in mind with Kevin Durant as the team is currently constructed.
Yeah, and maybe I exaggerated a little bit calling it an unforced error, because Trae Young's a good player. I do think that he could help this team. I think he'd be even an upgrade at the position. It's hard to sit here and make the case for Reed Sheppard over Trae Young right now, right? Like, that's ridiculous. So, but what I'm saying is, I think it would be more of a panic move and an unnecessary thing to do. And to your point about, like, what would you have to give up? You're not getting Trae Young for free or for pennies on the dollar. You're going to have to give something up to get a player of that caliber. And I'm not sure that the juice is worth the squeeze there. I'd rather just stick with what we got and roll with it. Yeah, as good of a player as Trae Young admittedly is.
Yeah, no doubt. I'll have fun watching him play for somebody else. And I'll have fun watching Kevin Durant be a Houston Rocket.
There you go.
That'll be cool. 713-572-4610 if you want to weigh in via text. You can join the chats, Twitch, and YouTube as well. Coming up next, 5 o'clock fire. Give you the day's top stories and headlines. Next, it's Sports Radio 610.
There's a hot link place that I used to eat at way back in the day.